Florida State beats New Mexico State, if you want to call it that, 34-17. They tried to beat themselves pretty much the entire night, and somehow, man, they really just kind of fumbled their way into a win in week zero. I mean, look, hey, I mean, starting 1-0 is better than 0-1. True. But, you know, when I did the preview article on plantthespear.com for this, and I talked about this before, the one thing I said about this game was, like, if you go out and win by 50, there's not a lot that I feel like you can prove in this game. Like, if you just beat up on a lesser opponent to the point that it's, you know, like we did Kent State last year, you know, 70-something to 10 or whatever it is. Granted, beating them by that much last year didn't get you anywhere because you lost four games on the backside of that. Correct. But the one thing I did say about this game was, like, on the flip side of what you could do on in a good way, if you were to come out and raise some red flag, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Michael, I might have even said, if you win this game, I'm pretty sure in our pregame show, if you win this game 34-17, we got some problems. I'm pretty sure I gave that exact score. I have to go back and watch it. And I thought that it was basically like in this one, you could raise some red flags. This is one of those games where there's more risk than reward. Right. But you play these because, had, let's be frank, man, if this was a better opponent in week one, you would have lost tonight. So this is why you play this game. This is why you play those tune-up games, to be able to play as bad as you did tonight and still come out on top and hopefully get some things on film to work on the next game. I mean, they have a couple of extra days to do it. But I thought overall tonight, man, this was a poor showing by Florida State, and I think it did exactly what we said it was going to do, you know, it, from the bad perspective, and it was going to raise red flags. I mean, we'll get into it, man, but I mean, I think the lines of scrimmage are screaming red flags right now. I didn't see a whole lot of impressive stuff from the quarterback position. I think the secondary looked like the Pitt game last year, where it was just an uncoordinated disaster. Yeah, man, I mean, we'll get into it, but yeah, I think in this game, when we talk about that risk versus reward, this was a risky game and it looked bad.
Yeah, you know, first of all, just, can we just give a shout out to all the fans that are on right now, checking us out? Thank you so much for being here. Plant the Spear. We're so grateful for you guys. Another season back. And, you know, Jesse, I appreciate that you are going to take a very balanced but very honest approach right now.
Look, yeah.
But I'm going to go nuclear. I tweeted out that, you know, is it possible to fire a coach after a win? Just because this is year 7, Jesse. Year 7. And this is New Mexico State, not the Lobos. That's New Mexico, not the Lumberjacks. Don't even know who that is. But this is New Mexico State Aggies, okay? Florida State has beaten them every time. There was a year, I think it was 1964, and Florida State shut them out 36-0, okay? That was before even Bobby got here. And normally Florida State dominates these games. And I know that these games are, like you said, risky reward. You know, there's not much to gain from them. But, man, there's a whole lot to tell from them. And today told us that this program is going the opposite way. They look dysfunctional. They looked out-coached. They looked out-talented against a team that is a Conference USA team. They looked discombobulated.
It looked like New Mexico State wanted the game more to begin with.
Exactly. Exactly. And, you know, I honestly, if it wasn't for, and we'll get into this, I know, if it wasn't for a certain player, I mean, I don't know what the score would have been in this game. And it's just ridiculous that we're here right now. I know it's a win. I should be happy. You know, in college football, getting a win is a win is a win is a win, as I like to say, for sure. I'm happy we got the win. I ain't happy how it came about.
No, And I know we got someone here that thinks we didn't watch the game because we ran the ball a lot and got 480 yards of offense. I don't think we watched the same game.
Yeah, I'm sure we did not.
You eventually wore them down, and yes, you won 34-17. You were a 31.5-point favorite. Again, if that was SMU or Alabama, you would have been taking a loss tonight.
Annihilated.
It probably would have been bad because, I mean, let's be honest, you couldn't really pass the ball because you couldn't protect the quarterback, right?
Exactly.
Ashton didn't look – I mean, he threw a couple of dimes. I'll give him that. Like, yeah. He had a couple of nice passes, but – you know, it just didn't really look great. Now, if you want me to find some positive in this, you did run the ball well. Yeah. I did think you were able to run the ball well. I think you got some pretty good running backs for sure. Like, I think all three of them look good. You had 217 rushing yards in this game. I did say that I wanted to see you go over 200 yards. You averaged 5.6 yards per carry. I know that number got drugged down a little bit at the end in the knees. You were able to – you got 419 total yards here. And so, I mean, again, like, it wasn't – your completion percentage was at 63%. I mean, there's a lot of things you could have done better. 6.3 yards per play. I think the defense was the bigger concern, right? The offense was able to run the ball fairly decently, right? There's obviously, if you had any concern with the offensive line, I think it's been confirmed, right?
Yeah. Because
the pass blocking was not good. Like, I will – PFF, it's going to take a day or two to come out. Right. I mean, watch the film. We all watched the game. But – I would be interested to see the pressure numbers, because it just didn't look like you could drop back and have more than about 2 seconds without someone being in his face. I would have liked to have seen Malachi Marshall a little, maybe a drive late.
Yep.
To get something going. But at the same time, like, you know, I don't think you could protect him. So I think that's a problem. But I think most of the questions came from the defense, man. You gave up 319 yards to New Mexico State. You gave up only 47 rushing yards, which is pretty good, but man, you could not cover them tonight. You had I think it was on that one drive, you had three third down conversions of over 20 yards. That's tough, man. I mean, even when you look at New Mexico State, like, so they had a 13 play 51 yard drive, 6 minutes 47 seconds, a 9 play 75 yard drive, a 12 play 68 yard drive, a 70 or 7 play 75 yard drive. Like, they put up some – they drove on you up and down the field a pretty good bit, and that is very concerning. So, to me, I think when you talk about the offense, yes, the offensive line is a concern for sure, but I think that you are able to run the ball like we thought this team could run the ball. Now, you're going to have to prove you can do that against much better defenses coming up. But, man, it was the defense really more than anything, and the pass pro that really kind of had me concerned tonight, because when you go – like, when I look at that secondary tonight – one of the things that really immediately hit my mind was like, but you got one of the best quarterbacks in the ACC coming in next week in Kevin. Yeah. He's going to carve you up if you don't figure something out, because the secondary across the board had a bad night. They looked uncoordinated. Jabril Rawls, who's supposed to be your top corner, really had a bad night all in all in coverage. I mean, to your point, you got the win. And again, you can never take a win for granted in college football for sure. But yeah, I mean, this was one that just raised a lot of red flags, and it really makes me feel like I was cautiously optimistic coming into the season. You know, we had talked about there, you could, if you tell me this team went 3-9 or 9-3, I'd believe you either way. I thought I could be a little bit more cautiously optimistic to the win side early on. Now I'm kind of questioning where we're going to be at in that bye week before Clemson.
Yeah, that's true. You know, okay, here's how I see it. There's three major concerns that I come out of this game with. Major. And I don't mean like major, like orange flag. I mean major red flag, DEFCON 1, whatever terminology you want to use there. It's not scrimmage 3. I mean, this is a game, okay? They've had a ton of scrimmages already during the preseason practices and camp, everything. This is a game. You should have been game ready. And they were not necessarily game ready. I think my number one concern on that is the offensive line. Now, yes, they did run for 217 yards, Jesse. You're absolutely right about that. But if you go back and watch the tape, which we will, you and I both will, you'll notice that most of those yards and that damage came in the second half. They had a couple of good runs in the first half there, but they were few and far between because they were getting New Mexico State's defensive line were getting in the backfield. They didn't have to blitz much to get into the backfield. They were stopping them for 2 or 3 yard gains over time. Then they'd break, you know, Florida State might break one or two, and then they would stop them again and again. So that's the run part of it. They did end up picking up more later on. Sam Singleton obviously was a big part of that. And then obviously Usman Chroma got into it in the second half, was able to do some stuff. But then just from pass block, I mean, this is this literally, I kept thinking to myself eerily, like, am I watching 2024 all over again with this pass blocking? I mean, it was absolutely atrocious. Ashton did not have time. I mean, the moment he got the snap, he maybe had 2 seconds in that pocket to scan the field. And then, you know, there was that with the offensive line. Then with the defensive line, You talk about no pass rush whatsoever. This is a continuation from 2024. They could not get a pass rush at all. They blitzed a couple times. They were able to get home, I think, twice. Bayer got the first sack of the season. I can't remember off the top of my head who got the second one. But they were able to get home a couple times. But that's after they sent blitz after blitz after blitz. And then, my goodness, are you kidding me with this cushion? I mean, the 7-plus yards, they converted 6 of their first 7 third down. Now, after that, they went 4 for 10. But still, and those 4 that they converted were all third downs of 7-plus or more yards to pick up. I mean, it was absolutely atrocious. Of course, and then you have, and then my third concern is just the miscommunication on the back end. Last season, Tony White had to simplify the defense because he said it was too complicated for him. It was too complicated, too complicated. Well, guess what? It's apparently still too complicated because they can't communicate. You got receivers running wide open on the slots and the seams. You got linebackers turning tight ends loose. You got corners not being able to communicate. Jabril Rawls, who's supposed to be a first-round draft pick, showed up tonight. He looked like an 8th-round draft pick tonight. I mean, it was absolutely atrocious. KJ Kirkland, I mean, honestly, if I'm the DB coach, he might not see the field again. I mean, he was absolutely terrible tonight. So those are my 3 big concerns coming out of tonight: the offensive line, defensive line, lack of pressure, and just the continued miscommunication in this defensive backfield.
Yeah, I agree. And I want to say shout out real quick to Robert Gray for the super chat here.
Thanks, man.
He says, man, that was rough. My biggest concerns, what is the cushion we are giving in the secondary? That's something we complained about all offseason.
Yep.
We saw it last year. Like, you know, you'll be 3rd and 7 and you give them a 10-yard cushion and you're basically handing them easy completions underneath. And then, frankly, this team still doesn't tackle very well.
Nope, sure doesn't.
And so, like, you just kind of set them up for any kind of yak yards, put you in first down territory. Pass protection from the O-line is no bueno, and running backs are studs. Yes, I agree with that. Like, there are some positives. Like, again, if you want me to give you another positive, they went 6 for 6 in the red zone. And they was something that they struggled with last year. They had 34 points all in the red zone. And you know, that's the thing, man, is like, you're looking for those types of things to get better. Things can't, you know, there's also the other things that you have to consider with, like, the drop touchdown by New Mexico State.
Yes.
This could have been a very close game in the end had New Mexico State not have made some mistakes with penalties and stuff like that late too. But you know what, man, I mean, it just didn't look good. Right. And to the gentleman who thinks that we're just laying in the bushes for Alabama, like, listen, man, if they come out and beat SMU next week, that's fine. I picked them to beat SMU.
Yeah. So did
but they didn't look good tonight. Like, that doesn't, whether they win next week or not, doesn't change that they didn't look good tonight. I know you can say that they didn't put anything on film for SMU, but, like, buddy, if you lose to New Mexico State, the SMU game doesn't matter.
Exactly.
You can't think of it like that. But yeah, I mean, again, man, I don't think it was all bad. Like, if you want some positive from the defense, I do think Bayer looked pretty good.
Yeah.
He looked promising. He's got some speed. I think he can cover laterally from side to side. I thought Chris Jones had moments.
Yeah.
Again, one of the concerns that we had was coming from the G5 level, and then can he be a good coverage backer? But I thought you saw some flashes from him.
Yeah. I agree.
The biggest thing for me, again, when you talk about that defensive line, is it's kind of crazy that I felt like the linebackers might have been the best part of it tonight versus like last year, because there were times when I was like, man, did Kevin Wynn play tonight? Like, yes. Did Daniel Lyons play tonight? Like, I don't remember them really making a single play, right? No. I don't remember seeing the DeSears pop off the screen at any point tonight. I didn't see any of that. I didn't see Rylan Kennedy be some kind of game-wrecking defensive end or something like that. And you know what, man, again,
that's who got the second sack, Rylan Kennedy.
Rylan Kennedy. Well, good for him. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But, we talked about this before the show, too, when we were getting on here, is like, look, Southern Cal tonight, a ranked team, beat San Jose State by 26, and they were like a 38.5-point favorite.
Yep.
Not everybody covers in the first play or first game of the season, right? Things happen. But at the same time, that's why I said in the preview, I said, this is about more than a box score.
Yeah.
Even if they came out 134-17, but it looked very clean and maybe just some fluky things happened.
Right.
It just didn't feel good. I mean? Yeah. Now to continue to give you some positives here, I will say, I think special teams look better tonight. I thought you at least had the one decent punt. You made a field goal, which was good. You made two field goals by Panikowski. You know, that's something we struggled with last year. Hey, we caught punts.
We caught a punt.
We caught punts, multiple punts. Not only did we catch multiple punts, but we also had a nice return there at the end by Jason Lopez. So I could see once he gets more comfortable, I think he could be a weapon for you.
Yep.
You know, man, I just think when Ashton talked about this offseason, like the one thing he had to work on was his confidence. This isn't a big confidence booster of a game, but hopefully he was able to get out any kind of nerves. Because we did see last year when his first start for Auburn was by far his worst game.
Yeah.
So hopefully maybe he can settle in with some things. This offense can settle in together and figure some things out, right? That's like that's all you can hope for is they can get better from here. It's not illegal to get better, right?
No,
as
it's
I
not.
Always say. And teams get better from week one to week two, and you have extra time to prepare. And then you got to think about it like this too, man. SMU is going to be coming into the same situation, right? Where they might play a sloppy game like you did tonight because it's their first game.
Right.
Right. And it may be like, you know, I said before, where if you play a sloppy game like that against a better team, they probably would have beat you tonight.
Yep.
Yeah. You were fortunate enough to be playing New Mexico State. Well, maybe if SMU plays like that, you're a good enough team that you can sneak up and get that win the first week of the season. But, you know, man, again, like it just wasn't. It wasn't encouraging because the number one thing I wanted to see out of this team was to be dominant in the line of scrimmage. That's the one thing I wanted to see was be dominant in the line of scrimmage and look like by the – I didn't expect it right out of the gate because it's week zero.
Right.
By the third quarter, I wanted you to look like a well-oiled machine.
Yep.
And to your point, man, the secondary is the by far the biggest – I'd say the secondary is the biggest surprise of the night because I felt – pretty confident in what that secondary can be, right?
Yeah.
And I mean, again, like to the one saying overreaction and stuff like that 500 times in the comments, like what film are you saving on defense?
Yeah, exactly.
You don't save defensive film for them. Don't. Like that was just getting beat and looking uncoordinated and being in the wrong spot. So those are the things that concern me. It wasn't that you were running vanilla play calls on defense. You just were getting whipped.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. To me, again, you know, this first game, it's not about the box score. It's how you look in the box score. It's how you looked on the field. And for anyone who has watched football as long as and played it, you know, in high school, as you and I did, right? And again, we didn't play it in college, but we played in high school. We know what it looks like. We I sound like Mike DeVoe right now. I know what it looks like. The thing is, we understand it. And when you watched this game, you did not see a super confident FSU come out there. You didn't see a defense that knew where it should be at all times. You didn't see a defense communicate well. You didn't see a defensive line that got and I'm not talking about just sacks. And I, let me correct myself. They had three sacks. Jalen Anderson had the third one.
Yeah.
But you didn't see – I'm not just talking about sacks. I'm talking about pressure. I'm talking about making the QB uncomfortable. Now, I can't wait to see what Pro Football Focus says, PFF says about what how many pressures we were able to get. But because it didn't – I mean, he looked comfortable back there. I mean, he was just chucking it around the field. They were running a RPO glance, which is basically you put it in the belly of the running back. You read the linebacker to see if he steps up. If he does, you throw it right behind him. If not, you give it to the running back. They were running that RPO glance ad nauseum all night, and it was just right there every freaking time.
Yeah.
Because we could not we either didn't trigger fast enough or we were just confused at what we should do. And then again, like you talked about, when we talked about, is the communication on the back end of the defense. I mean, you should have had this button up already, right?
Yeah.
You have a potential first round draft pick back there. You got Ashlyn Barker back there. KJ Kirkland was projected to be better. You know, shout out to Quindarius Jones who got the interception and
had a big PBU
that should have been a touchdown. And got the interception on the next play. I mean, back to back right there. If it wasn't for that, I mean, we're probably looking at a game where Florida State's going into the third quarter down to this team. That's your issue. That's what I'm concerned about on this defense is that Tony White, this is supposed to be the second year and you still got players confused.
Yeah. And we had heard so much this offseason about how much better they understood the defense so they could be in the position all the time, right? They could play more free. They could do all this stuff. And it looked worse than it did last year from a coordination perspective. Anyway, I mean, I do think you had some good individual performances, right? My guy Hyperbolic Noel brings up the Nehemiah Chandler also had a nice PBU.
Yes, he did.
You saw some nice things from a couple of the defensive backs. And then, as Ralph says, that Diggs dropped that easy interception. That was tough, man. That's why you play the defensive line. You don't have hands like that. But I think Sam Singleton was the best player on the field tonight.
Dude.
I mean, he showed out. Like, I thought Kroma settled in a little bit in the second half. Like, we were texting back and forth in the first half that I think Sam Singleton's probably the best running back that you got right now.
Yes.
I think Kroma settled in and had some nice runs in the second half. But, man, I think right now Sam Singleton looks like the best player on the field for Florida State. He had the big kickoff return. He had a couple of receptions. Like, I think this is a guy that you're going to have to get more touches in these games because he's a kind of a game-changing guy for you. Yes. And you're going to have to find ways to get balls in his hands. I mean, I think – Deuce had a good catch too. Boggs had a nice catch. I thought there was that, you know, you had Ashton Daniels made a couple of nice throws. Mm-hmm. So like, that's the thing is I saw a couple of, I don't want to be all negative, right?
No.
I saw a couple of things that I did like, and I think that they can build on going into next week. Again, I don't think you were pushing it to throw it, but I also think you knew you were struggling to pass block them guys. And so if you can't stop SMU, then it's going to be a different ball game there because they have a lot better level of athletes than what Florida State has. But I don't think it was all bad, right? We saw some things, like we said, Trey Wisner, we did see him get a couple of carries, and he actually looked like he had a little bit of juice to him. I like any three of the running backs. And I think Ashton Daniels can get better. But, man, again, it's just for me, you know, coming into the season, the one thing I said about this team was like, I just don't see anything special in the trenches, anything elite. Yeah. In the trenches. And I think tonight you saw that against a lesser opponent. You just didn't like, you just, when you remember when you would watch a game with Jared Verse or Braden Fisk and they would just wreck a game.
Dominate,
you just don't see anyone who on the front six that wrecks a game right now.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, like, and the thing is to go back to the talk about the running backs. Yeah. Like, listen, I think Sam Singleton is your best running back right now, or at least he was the best tonight. Every time he touched the ball, you thought, you know, he had a chance to pick up some decent yards to do something special. You know, the touchdown catch, the touchdown run, the good punt return or kickoff return. I'm sorry. Like, he was just really good tonight all around. I have no qualms with him tonight. I thought Trey Wisner, you know, when he got in there a little bit there, he did a couple good things there, had a couple good runs. I thought Kroma started really poorly early.
Yeah.
He was trying to dance a lot, you know, in the pocket or in the line of scrimmage there. And it's like, you're just not a dancer, bro. Like, use them power legs, legs that are like, you know, semi trucks, and hit the hole and go. And then you notice what happened is that in the second half, Jesse, he stopped dancing as much. He hit the hole.
Yeah.
And then what happened? Good things happen, right? He broke, obviously, that 50-yard run there. He had a couple other nice, good runs there. When he tries to dance and do all that stuff, that's what plagued him last year. It's probably one of the reasons why Gus Malzahn really went away from him toward, you know, as the season went on. Just hit the hole and go, man. You're a power back. You're not a scat back. You're not an east and west back. You're a north and south runner. Hit the hole and go. That was my biggest thing there. You know, and then with the offensive line, you know, I thought they struggled again. I said this earlier. They struggled opening holes for the running game early on. They got a couple good ones, and then they just struggled, you know, to really create consistent holes there. Part of my frustration, and I get why, you know, I get it that Mike Norvell was probably going vanilla in this game. He was running so much split zone, which is basically, you know, the tight ends lined up opposite of the track of the runner, and then it comes across as the ball is getting put into the belly of the running back. We call that split zone running. They were running a lot of that split zone, and New Mexico State just understood it. They were there. They were covering the gaps. Notice that when he hit counter, I literally tweeted it. I said, is this the first counter I just saw? He called counter in the second half, and it went for, I think, 17 or 20 yards the first time he hit counter. Like,
yeah,
Mike, just – everybody knows you're going to run counter. Just run the dadgum thing, okay? Stop trying to be all vanilla and stuff like that. When it came to passing with this offensive line, like I said, I think Ashton had maybe had 2 seconds to scan the field. I mean, it was absolutely atrocious. And it was It was so bad. It was so bad that at one point I was like, man, why can't we just pull a Virginia if you didn't watch the Virginia game earlier? I think they ran like 22 straight run plays at one point in time. They had a 57. I texted this to Jesse earlier. They had a 57 to, what was it, 11 or 17? I can't remember. 57 to something pass to run ratio of play calling. It was insane. At one point, I was thinking we might need to do that. And at the time, we had went into half, and I texted Jesse and said, Ashton Daniels has only run the ball 6 times. This is his strength. And we're not even leveraging that. And I get it. I know Mike Gravel probably has Jordan Travis on the line running him like that against a no-name opponent. But still, I mean, everything else wasn't looking very good. And then when it comes to Ashton, I'll throw this back to you on this, is, you know, I thought, Ashton had a couple good dimes that he threw. I like the, you know, I like the pass to Deuce there. He got it over the corner there. That was a nice touch pass there. I like the deep ball, the couple deep balls I saw there. They weren't as bad as I thought they were going to be. But again, the anticipatory throws were late. He was late several times. The interception was a no, absolutely no. And he still threw it, right? Like, what are you doing there? The guy's right there. Like, I mean, anything, just throw that thing out of bounds. You're out of the pocket there. There should have been an intentional ground earlier that the referees kind of, you know, I think they are just like, whatever. They didn't pay attention to. I would say if I had to grade, this is just watching the game raw, and I'm interested in what you think. I would give this grade, I would give him like a C+. I don't think it was terrible, but I don't think it was great either.
Yeah, I was thinking when I knew where you were going, I was thinking probably somewhere in the C plus. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think it was awful. I think they could have called a few more run plays for him, maybe some quarterback power, things like that, just to kind of help get the run game going, to help kind of set some things up. I understand there wasn't a whole lot he could do with the pressure that he was under tonight, which, again, is a concern when you're talking about it being New Mexico State. But overall, I mean, when you look at the individual performance, man, 17 to 27, 202 yards, one touchdown, one interception, 63% completion percentage. I mean, at least he did have a decent completion percentage above 60% from where, you know, that's something we said we wanted to see him do. And to your point, man, we said, like, when you got Ashton Daniels, it was like, there's going to be a couple points in the season where you're going to be like, don't. Then it's like, and he does it anyway. And then the ball's in the other team's hands. And that's like that, you know what I mean? That's where it's at. And so, but again, like, I did watch the post game with him and Deuce, and they said where it's like, okay, well, you know, we won, and it's good to win in college football for sure, but we know we got some things to clean up.
Yeah.
And so they know, like, we can't act like they don't know this, right? We definitely can't. Moving on to some other individual performances, Usman Khroma, 14 attempts, 115 yards, one touchdown, average 8.2 yards per carry. Again, he got going in the second half, and he started to look pretty good. He started really slow, but, you know, he did pick it up. Sam Singleton Jr., 9 attempts, 42 yards, 4.7 yards a carry. Trey Wisner came in with 4 carries, 34 yards, 8.5 yards per carry. So that was pretty good. Ashton Daniels did have 8 run attempts on the night. I do suspect, to your point, with it being a lesser opponent, I think with SMU, you will see that number be around 12, at least 12 to 15 carries in that game. I think also when you saw what you saw from the offensive line tonight, you were like, okay, we're going to have to run him a little bit. And on the receiving end here, Sam Singleton Jr. led in that category. Again, a great night for him. 4 receptions, 54 yards, and a touchdown. He had an 80% reception percentage. Mekhi Dansey did have a nice catch there. 51 yards on 4 catches, 100% reception rate, 12.8 yards per catch. So that was good. And then Deuce with 3 catches for 50 yards. Was kind of a quiet night for Deuce. But, again, you didn't throw the ball a lot. You ran it for the most part. And, again, you did run for over 200 yards, which is what I wanted to see.
Right.
So you got a lot to clean up. But the good thing is you got film and you got some extra time with SMU being on Monday to get these things cleaned up. But to me, it was more about the physicality of the game that I saw. I didn't see on tape, is what I should say, rather than anything. So, but you got the win. You started 1-0, man. I mean, you avoided disaster.
Yep.
I don't know, man. It just, like we said, it didn't feel good. And there was a few – someone needs to tell Mike Norvell to stop doing the
Yeah, I know.
Thing on the sideline. Oh, like he got caught with that a few times.
Multiple
like,
times.
Bro, you just meme yourself every single game. And like, yep. I'm sorry, Phil. Like, if you think we're complaining too much, like you, if you're going to be the Florida State you want to be, you don't beat New Mexico State 34-17. You just don't. You don't look bad in that game. Like, that's what are you supposed to be bragging about right now?
Yeah. Let's like, Phil.
And we're not
like,
trying to be negative. Like, I want to say that. We're not trying to be negative. Like, we were super positive this offseason. We expected them to come into this game. And there were some people who I saw, like, in our comments, like, if you don't put up over 50 and you don't beat them by 40 points, then, like, the season's over. And I was like, no, man. Like, Tennessee beat them 42-9 last year, that a ranked Tennessee team. That was a 33-point win. So it's like, okay, I thought the score was going to be 45-10. I was like, okay, that's comfortable. Just cover the spread and look good doing it. Like, Mike Norvell doesn't necessarily run the score up on these teams like this. He runs the ball a lot in these games. So I expected it. I didn't expect it to be like a Gus special where, you know, his offensive numbers get inflated a lot because he really just punches, you know, uses those teams as a punching bag to score 70 points.
Right.
I just, again, man, it's like you can't say you watched that game and you felt good about what you saw on the line of scrimmage. That's it. But you still won and you still ended up, you know, you pulled away late, which felt good enough. So you could, it's not like you were biting your fingernails in the fourth quarter.
Right.
But there were a few points in that game where you're like, God, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Right. Well, and the thing is this, okay? The thing is this, when you say, you know, like Big H said, like, I mean, it was clear. If you watch the game, it was very clear the entirety of that game that they were not playing well. They were able to bust out a couple of good things. But again, if it wasn't for Sam Singleton, what would the score be? If it wasn't for that interception and the PBU by Q, where would the score be? If it wasn't for a drop touchdown pass on a trick play that was wide the heck open, what would it have been? We might have been biting our fingernails in the fourth quarter. That's how bad they played.
Yeah.
And what overcame it was the fact that they just were the more talented team.
Yeah.
And we can't sit here and say, if we are FSU, Florida State University, three-time national champion, powerhouse in the state of Florida, Bobby Bowden, legendary coach, how many NFL draft picks, All-Americans, ACC championships, I could keep going. We can't sit here and say, oh, it's just the first game, guys. Like, let's just give them a break. No, we've been giving them a break four out of the last six seasons.
I know.
We're done with giving them a break.
Yeah, I'm done. That's the thing. Like, it was like, oh, well, after 2-10, well, the snub, right? And then last year, well,
Gus.
Yeah. Gus. Yeah, it's Gus, right? And it's just, it's like every time, man, it's well, enough. Yeah, like, enough. When are you going to beat the teams like you're supposed to? Because what if you look at, like, this next game?
Yeah.
SMU's going to blow your doors off. Like, what if you play like that in Bryant Denny? You're going to lose by 30. Like, I'm just being honest. Like, it's not that we're trying to hate on this team because hopefully they can get better. My goodness, they better.
They better.
They better get better because I promise you Alabama's not going to be feeling sorry for them.
Nope.
I promise you Miami's not going to feel sorry for you. But we're not trying to be negative. We're just trying to keep it real and look at what we see. And, like, it's another one of those ticks on the tally sheet of, like, man, this is just another kind of underwhelming performance from a Mike Norvell team. They didn't look inspired. And again, like, you look at, like, okay, let's just put yourself in a mental picture of how you feel going into week two, right? If you see the performance that Virginia had today, they came out and absolutely smacked NC State.
Yep.
Dominated that game. They feel probably like, okay, we're figured this 10. Out. They, mm-hmm. Right. They are on cloud nine right now. You're coming off a game against New Mexico State where you beat them less than what Virginia handed an ACC opponent, right? I mean, I might feel better a lot about that NC State game now because they look terrible today. They looked really bad.
Yeah.
But man, I like, if you asked me to repick the schedule right now and we talked about that Virginia game, I feel a lot worse about that Virginia game right now, just by the way they started out. And again, you have time to get better before that game. But, you know, again, what if you play like that and then you take a couple losses on top of that?
Yeah.
And then maybe the effort and stuff like that is down a little bit. I don't know, man. It's just.
Well,
Again, I'm not saying they can't get better.
Right.
For sure. I'm just saying this was not an inspiring performance. I didn't expect you to, like, there's nothing you probably could have done tonight outside of literally, like, go 30 for 30 on completions,
exactly.
10 yards a carry, 90 to nothing. I'd be like, wow, that was crazy good. There's not a whole lot you could have done tonight to make me be like, oh, we're for sure curb stomping SMU.
Right.
But you could have done enough to make me not go like, okay, I went from like, I'm nervous to like, oh, crap, I'm nervous about that game, right?
Well, absolutely. Well, and 21 Ritter, if you want to pull him up there, he said both teams ran 66 plays. We had 100 more yards. Defense, 3 sacks, 48 yards rushing. Offense, 220 rushing to 205 passing. You are overreacting about a scrimmage game. First of all, bro, this wasn't a scrimmage game. This game actually counted.
It actually shows up. The last time they treated a game like this as a scrimmage game, they lost it, and it was to Jacksonville State.
Exactly. And then to Jesse's point, go watch that Virginia versus NC State game. This was a Group 5 game against New Mexico State. Virginia just played NC State, a Power 4 opponent, and wiped the floor with them. Wiped the floor by only passing like 11 times in that whole game. And they look, and it felt confident. It felt like the game was over early. The defense dominated. The offense did what it needed to do. Now go watch that game and then rewatch this game and tell me you don't feel different about how Florida State played versus how Virginia played. That's the point of what we're trying to make here. We're not trying to be overreacting and saying, oh, the sky is falling, sky is falling. No, they won the game. And in college football, a win is a win is a win. But dadgummit, if you show up to a game against a group four or group of five game, it should feel like how Virginia felt when they beat NC State today. It should feel good. You should feel dominant. You should feel like you got everything you needed to accomplish. You saw what you needed on the film. We should have been watching Malachi Marshall in the fourth quarter there. We didn't get to see that. We had the starters in the game at the end of the game. Why? Because we were worried that we might actually blow this game because it didn't look like what it was supposed to look like. And that's what we're saying. They did a lot of good. They did a lot of good things today, and we've acknowledged those good things today. And to be fair to them, we have to also acknowledge where the major concerns are. This offensive line, pass blocking is a major concern. This defensive line and not getting a pass rush is a major concern. The fact that the DBs cannot communicate still is a major concern. That's what we're here for, is to make sure we call out what is and what isn't.
It's just being fair, man. And you know what? I'm not going to go there anymore with the – it's just a scrimmage, whatever. Like, apparently, we are very concerned with not putting anything on film in a 12-game season. Like, if his counter argument is that, well, now everyone knows who Virginia's quarterback was. You know, he played 10 games at Missouri last year.
Exactly. Michael? Everybody already knew.
Did he start throwing with the other hand? No. Right. It's once you've played a couple of games, like these guys, it's not like, oh my gosh, I didn't know he was a quarterback. Oh, get out of here, right? Like, that's just, there's only so much you're going to put on film. I get that, and against a lesser opponent versus an ACC opponent. But the saving not putting things on film is a way overblown excuse. That has nothing to do with getting beat physically, right? Yeah. When the defensive line is rushing against that offensive line and they're not getting penetration, they're not moving guys, that has nothing to do with film.
Right.
That has nothing to do with film. Having a G5 defensive lineman run through your face on the offensive line, jeez, that ain't got nothing to do with film.
Absolutely nothing.
And to your point, man, you look at that Virginia game, Virginia's defense allowed 168 total yards against CJ Bailey and NC State. Yep. And we gave up 319 yards to a Furman transfer, an FCS transfer quarterback, and New Mexico State. They put up 413 total yards. We put up 419. They ran for 258 on NC State and held them to 76. We ran for 217 and held them to 47. And again, that's a better opponent than New Mexico State. So that's what we're trying to say, is like, you have to play both of those teams. Yeah, you probably feel really good about NC State about now, but you don't feel very good about Virginia. So again, it's not trying to be negative that this team can't get better, but this was an uninspiring performance. And that's just all that we're trying to say, right? That's all we're trying to say. But again, like we've mentioned, to circle back, it's not like it was all negative, because you did have a couple of individual performances that are things you could build on. And I think you made a point on something else that I want to bring up, which has been a problem with this program for the past few years, is in games like this, when you fail to put teams away, this is why a lot of times we have failed to develop depth at a high level, because,
correct,
these, like you said, these are games where in the fourth quarter, none of the guys on the field that were on the field in the fourth quarter should have been on the field. It should have been entirely everybody else. Like, you didn't get to see a lot of the backup defensive linemen. You didn't get to see – I don't even know if the Texas State transfer guy played tonight. Nope. I didn't – I
we'll have to see the PFF.
Yeah, like, I didn't see if he even – I'm sure he did, but, like, you know what I'm saying? You didn't get a chance for those guys to play a lot. You didn't get a chance for Malachi Marshall. You didn't get a chance for maybe a couple of offensive linemen to get in there and play. And that's how you develop that depth over time. Right. And that's something where when you fail to put these games away like you're supposed to, that's one of the kind of like ripple effect issues of not being able to play all those guys. So, yeah, man, I mean, you got some things to clean up, but now you have film to go back and look at. You have some things where you can point and clean up. But again, man, like, you can coach it up as much as you want, but when you – there's you can't coach up physicality. And that's right. What concerns me. Like, you can't coach up struggling to get penetration against a G5 offensive line. That's not film. That's not technique. That's not skill. That's just being a badder dude than the guy across from you.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? And so what are you going to do when you line up against Miami's offensive line or Clemson's offensive line or Pitt's offensive line or whatever? Like, that's the thing that I think concerns me more than anything. But, you know, hopefully they can get better. Hopefully they can build off some things. Again, Ashton Daniels did make some good throws. I know Deuce can be clutch. So, like, I know he's only having 50 passing yard or receiving yards tonight. I know he can have a big game when the lights come on and all that stuff matters. So, like, I assume this team is going to get better. Like, I'm not going to say that they're not going to get better for sure. Right. I do think there are some things they will clean up. But the problem is you have to do it fast because you have SMU coming in town next Monday, and then you have to go to Alabama in 2 weeks after that. So I will at least say the good thing is you have extra time to prepare for SMU. You have a bye week after SMU to continue to work on things. So, like, again, maybe they come into this game playing like you did in the first game and you catch them slipping a little bit, and then you can pull out that win. Then you get a bye week to fix things going into Alabama. Then no matter what happens against Alabama, you have that Central Arkansas game to kind of have another get right game, which hopefully you come out and you look more dominant than you did in this one. Because if you look like this and that one, yikes, that's not going to be good. And so, I mean, I we'll wrap it up instead of in just a little bit with some final thoughts instead of, you know, kind of repeating the same thing, because it's, I don't want to overreact over one game, because you can have one game. Like, I have seen before, you know, most of you guys know, like, my wife's a Georgia fan, my friends and family are Georgia fans, so I kind of keep up with their program. Like, there are times where you'll see Georgia kind of play with their food. You know, they'll go play like a East Tennessee State and they'll win 34-17. And then the next week they'll go play Vanderbilt and they'll win 66-10, right? You can rise to the occasion and you can go and still beat SMU. This is not making me feel like you're not still able to win that game. And because you can get better, because again, man, that's when we're talking about, like, but you got to be able to rise to that occasion. If you play down to the competition today, then you got to fix that too. But, like, we'll see what happens when they play SMU. So we'll see, man. Like, I'm not going to say that they can't win that game. It's just right now I feel a lot more nervous about it. That's all it is. Like, I feel a lot more probable to aim towards the under on what my win projection was than the over. Whereas that's not what I felt before this game, which is what we said this game was all along, was this was a – this was a either going to make me feel like, okay, I didn't see enough to make me feel like we're going to the playoffs, but I feel good enough to be like, we can probably beat SMU. Now I feel nervous about that game because SMU's a daggone good. They're better than New Mexico State. Yeah. But you can still win that game if you continue to get better and you work on things.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, listen, I mean, last year, I know I overreacted last year after we, you know, curb stomped Alabama and rushed the field. And then the next two games, we put up 77 and I think another, I can't remember what the third one was. We put up a lot of points in those two games. And then we were like going into Virginia thinking, man, we're going to be in the college football playoff. We might even win a national title this year. And then boom, it all fell apart. So is there a potential to overreact to the first game where it didn't look really good, but you still got the win? Absolutely. But I think part of the season and the part of the joy and at the same time misery of college football and loving a team so much as you and I both love Florida State is that we're not on the field playing. You get a sense of the season as each game plays itself out. You start to feel what the season could be like, right? And so coming into this season, after what we witnessed at the end of last season, after we watched, you know, Florida State get run on, I still think Florida and Javon Boggs are still running on Florida State's defense. You got the sense of quitness, of giving upness. And then what you got coming in today was you got a team that was determined. This is a good thing. I will say that you got a team that was determined to come in and try to exert its will. The fact that the offensive line didn't really allow you to do that as much early on is an issue that they got to correct. But again, like Jesse says, it's not illegal to get better. And so I think they're going to work a lot this week on that, hopefully, especially the pass blocking. Right now, I still have confidence in Herb Hand as an offensive line coach. Yeah. I think after SMU, if it doesn't get better, then I think that might wane. But I have confidence in Herb Hand to get this team better. You know, with the defensive line and Terrence Knightley and Nick Williams, the defensive ends coach there, I'd be curious to see what they can do to help improve the pass rush. I think part of what they can actually do, Jesse, to improve the pass rush is play a little bit more man and play those guys up a little bit more. I mean, you got man corners. Again, I said this last year. You're still playing with Adam Fuller's guys. And Adam Fuller was a man defense guy. And you're trying to play this zone. And then, get this, Jesse. I just realized this. There's several plays where Tony White did play man defense. But even in that man defense, he had them 7 to 8 yards off the coverage. Like,
yeah,
that's not how you play man defense, bro. Man defense is a get in your face, bump and run. Mickey Andrews, who was at the game tonight, thank goodness he's still healthy and doing well. You know, Mickey Andrews' defense was up in your face. I'm going to play your man. I'm going to put on an island. We're going to do what we got to do. We got to handle business here. And I just think that if they're going to try to help this defensive line have a better pass rush, get more pressure, they need to jar those receivers. They need to disrupt the routes. They're not. They're running free flow in there. So I think that can get better as well, too. I think running the run game is good as long as the offensive line keeps it up there. And I just think Ashton can continue to improve his passer thing. I don't think Mike helped him out a lot, and I don't know if that was just part of the vanilla game plan. I thought you see a lot more maybe short passes to, you know, get his rhythm going, to get him to see that stuff. But everything seemed to be long developing. Everything seemed to need 3 to 4 seconds in the pocket when the offensive line wasn't giving it to him. I thought they could have moved him more, and I think Mike will get better on that, obviously. I think with the SMU game, I think you'll see a more Mike Norvell-type script, especially that first 15. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I do think there are things that they can get better in. But I'd be lying if I told you that, oh, yeah, this is just a blimp. No, this is not a blimp. This has been consistent. So if we're sounding the small alarm bells, that's because we've seen this before multiple times.
Yeah, it's like last year whenever we lost to Miami and we were sitting there in the third quarter going into the fourth quarter, it was 28-3, and I fired off a tweet that I thought we should have fired Mike Norvell, and everybody's like, oh, no, you're crazy. It's too soon for all that. And then we lost to Pitt, and everyone's like, okay, well, maybe you were onto something, but, you know, maybe. And then we lost to Stanford.
And then we lost Stanford.
And then it was like, okay, well, maybe you were right about that. Someone said that I was having a crash out on social media or whatever. And then 4 weeks later, they were like, oh, we should fire Mike Norvell. And it's like, exactly. No, you don't have to wait until the whole house has came down on top of your head to be like, oh, this is not good. When you start to see the cracks in the foundation, you go, oh, guys, we should probably fix this before it falls on our head. Like, that's all we're doing. But again, man, yeah, to your point, I will say, like, again, you were 6 for 6 in the red zone. That is good. That's what we wanted to see. You know, when I look at the drives here, you had a 9-play 55-yard drive, 7-play 60-yard drive, 8-play 58-yard touchdown drive, 12-play 51-yard touchdown drive, 7 for 64, and 8 for 75. So you drove the field a good few times tonight. Again, I think the good thing is that running game will be able to keep you in a lot of games. It'll kill the clock, kind of keep things down a little bit. So I think that is something that you can lean on. I do think that you will be able to work with this offensive line between week 1 and week 2. Again, this is why we said that this game was so valuable, was that being 5 new starters, like, it all sounds good in camp, but until you actually see guys in live fire situations, like, you don't really know what you're going to get from them. So now you have some film to see that. Maybe you shuffle a few combinations if you feel like maybe you didn't get what you wanted out of a certain guy. So maybe that's something that they can try the next time around. But I don't think Ashton, to your point, I don't think he was bad tonight by any means. I do think some of the screens were very nicely called.
Yeah.
That
maybe one too many, but yes.
One too many. I did see we try a little reverse in there that didn't work.
We did.
That was the Gus special did not work for Mike. But yeah, overall, man, I think there were some things that the play calling, you know, was a little bit more creative, but it was had the unfortunate part was that it had to be more creative because against the teams last year, you just ran over them. But yeah, no, I think there are some things to build on. I think Ashton, like I said, he had a couple of really nice throws considering he was under pressure. I thought you saw a couple things from the receivers. You know, it would have been nice to see Jason Lopez get involved, but you know, you did see Deuce have a good catch. Danzy have a good catch and Boggs have a good catch. Landon Thomas had a catch tonight. So it was nice to see him get back involved. I didn't see anything from Desirio Riles. That's what I was kind of looking for there. So I think Ashton, you know, he'll be okay. I think the interception, I think he probably knew. I think he knew. You know what I'm saying? After that, yeah. Was like, golly, yeah. Man, that's just that history coming back to haunt him a little bit. So that's the things he's going to continue to work on and get cleaned up. And so, you know, again, man, if you come out and you beat SMU next Monday night, then no one's going to care about this game. No one's going to care about 34-17. But to the person that was asking about if we're going to be ranked for the SMU game, my friend.
No,
we're not going to be ranked if we win the SMU game.
Exactly.
So like maybe if you beat SMU and Alabama, no, man, that's just kind of where I'm at with it. It's like, I think this team can be fine. I just don't feel any more confident after this game than I did before it. And right. I think that's the end all be all of where I'm at. You know what I mean? Yeah. Is I think you're going to have to know that with the offensive line, I think you're going to have to lean on the run to Ralph's point because or the hyperbolic Noel's point, I think you're going to have to lean on that run a lot because I thought they did a decent job run blocking once they kind of wore that team down a little bit. But again, when you're playing a better team with more depth on a defensive line where you can't wear them down in the second half like you can this one,
exactly.
That's where you're really going to be put to the test. So the point is I feel less confident after this game going into the next two, but it doesn't mean they can't still get better. It doesn't mean they can't win those games. They just got a lot to clean up between now and then, man. That's all it is, right? And that's the benefit of having a couple of extra days. That's the benefit of having a week zero game. That's the benefit of having a bye after the SMU game if you do come out on the wrong end of that game. So hopefully they get better. Hopefully they watch this film and then, you know, burn it and bury it and learn from it. But at the end of the day, I will say this. I think you played an overall sloppy, bad game, and you still won. And so, like, at least I know you should – when it's a team like New Mexico State, but you didn't play your best game and you still won 34-17. So you did walk out of Doak Campbell Stadium with a win. So like, at least there's that, you know, at least you're not like in the disastrous scenario where you started 0-1.
Right.
And then you're looking at the whole season would change
from that
point. So
yeah,
I mean, just bounce back, man. That's all they got. That's all you can do is just bounce back. Like this game it's in the books now. You can't change the score. You can't change what it looked like.
Right.
People are going to be doubting you now. You know, you've seen the social media reaction. People are going to be talking that smack about you. Hey, pin it on the locker room. Like, you know, Terrence Knight likes to tweet. Like we hear you.
Okay.
Okay.
Hear us, please.
Yeah. I didn't hear you tonight.
Yeah. Exactly.
So no, I think that's all it is, man. It's just go get better and beat SMU and then no one will say a squat about this game.
Well, Jesse, it's like I always say, I steal this from former Kentucky basketball head coach John Calipari. He always said, you know, you either win or you learn. You know, and so tonight we win, but I hope we learn because
I think we won and learned tonight.
Yeah, we won and learned tonight. Like, and again, this is the benefit of having a week zero game. I know there's some people out there, some people in the media that hate these kind of games because there's no reward to it. I actually think there's a big time reward because imagine if this performance, Jesse, had shown up against SMU.
Yeah. Like imagine if you'd have played SMU tonight.
How many Christmas trees would be on Mike Norvell's front yard tonight if this is the way and we lost the game, right?
Yeah.
So that's why there's a benefit to this game because you got it out of you. This was a terrible game. Yes, they won. Yes, there was some good stuff to it. But overall, like, this is a C-minus game. So now you take the tape, you learn from it, you correct it, you work on pass blocking, you work on communication, you work on, anticipatory throws for Ashton, right? You get communication in the DB. You figure out how to get a pass rush And I don't mean sacks. Again, pass rush is not just about sacks.
Yeah.
It's about getting pressure on the on the quarterback, making him uncomfortable. You figure that all out. You come out SMU, right, and you look and you win. The name of the game against SMU, it doesn't matter how you look, just get the W. That's all we care about. Get the W, and we'll critique it moving forward. But if you come out looking like this again or worse and you get the L, I mean, it changes the trajectory of a season that was already the floor and the ceiling were just wildly a spectrum from each other. So learn from it, grow from it, get better.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny. We said in the pre-show, I was telling you, I was like, look, at the end of the day, if you go 16-0 and win every game by 2 points, you're still 16-0.
You're still 16-0.
You're still the national champion.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Then, like, it's fine. Like, if you just want to win and win by two every time and don't look great doing it, I don't care.
As long as you win. As Al Davis would say, win, right, baby, win.
Right. That's all that matters. I just think, again, it's one of those where we're watching it and we're going, like, if you play like this, you're probably not going to beat them. That's all the read on it is.
Yep.
So yeah, I mean, we'll see. Like, if you want to play ugly and still win, then I'll still celebrate the win, right?
Yeah, I will too.
It just doesn't mean it's always going to look good. But yeah, I mean, hey, you won. Like you said, that's the point of having this game, is you can play a bad game. You can use this game as kind of a glorified scrimmage, and you can still win even if you didn't play well. So
right. The
best thing you can do now is go hush the doubters by going and beating SMU.
Yeah.
And that's a game that it doesn't matter if you win 28-27 and it looks ugly. Like, as long as you get the win, that's fine.
That's right.
But I just don't think this instilled any confidence. But you know what? Hey, maybe Mike Norvell is just playing 3D chess, right? Like, maybe he's just like, well, SMU is going to be like, you know, hey, we got Louisville in week three.
Yeah.
We don't even really need to try hard for Florida State. They barely beat New Mexico State. What are we doing? We might just leave the backup at home. You know what I'm saying? Like, we might just do that. So, yeah, I don't know, man. We'll see. But before we get out of here, my guy Willie B joined the channel as new member, man. We greatly appreciate you doing that. If you guys want to, you can join the YouTube channel to help support what we're doing here at Plant the Spear. We also have the PTS community. I know the live game chat was popping off there a little bit of cheers, a little bit of jeers going back and forth during this game. You guys can check that out as well over at plantthespear.com. You can join the PTS community, where we'll be having all kinds of stuff, all of our content and things like that. Make sure you check out our website as well, plantthespear.com, for all of our written articles. We'll have game previews and thoughts and all that stuff. We're going to be previewing that SMU game. Again, we appreciate those that watched our Friday live show today.
Yeah.
It actually did pretty good on the views for something brand new to us. We're going to be doing that every Friday at noon, going live. We're going to be talking national college football stuff. We're going to be talking the biggest storylines of the week. Of course, we're going to be talking about Florida State. Michael, we were a little bit off today. North Carolina did actually get the win over
TCU.
So good for them.
Mm-hmm.
I did not really think that we were going to see that the Virginia NC State score that we did. So they looked really good in that game. Just looking at a couple of games from around the country.
Stanford. I'm sorry for our guy, Hyperbolic Noel, man. Sorry that your Hawaii Warriors couldn't get it done, man.
Yeah, and then UNLV is up 14-7 on Memphis at halftime right now. Dan Mullen trying to work on getting him a job somewhere. So, yeah, I mean, hey, look, maybe UNC, like, Bill Belichick might just kick the can down the road a little bit. He threw a little bit of water on the dumpster fire there.
Yeah, he did.
In Chapel Hill. So, that, you know, it was good for him to be able to get a win for them. But, yeah, man, again, we appreciate everybody watching. Michael, I mean, you know, they're not all going to be pretty, but you're 1-0, and that's all that matters, right? At the end of the day, that's all that matters. So go beat SMU. I'm looking forward to that game. I'm going to be down there for that game. I'm going to be a little nervous for that one now. I'm not going to lie. I might treat our preview a little bit differently after watching this. But again, I think the benefit is we're going to go back and we're going to watch this.
Right.
We're going to go back and diagnose the film and see what we see on this, see if it's, you know, what can be cleaned up and things like that to make you feel better. And then we'll be back with our preview for SMU sometime next week. But again, we appreciate everybody watching. Make sure you check out that Friday live show. Make sure you check out plantthespear.com. Make sure you drop a like and subscribe on the YouTube channel, rate and review on the podcast. I feel bad if it feels like we were overly negative or complaining tonight. But you know what? Again, man, the thing I just want to say, and I'm going to get to my friend here, Hyperbolic, in a second, but I just want to say that when we cover Florida State, and because I went back and forth with someone about this, thinking that we were negative and trash, like, me and Michael do this because we love Florida State, because we love the program. We don't do this full-time. We both work full-time outside of this. So, like, we do this because we love it. We do this because we want to see the best for the program. So we're going to be as positive as we can every time we have a chance to be positive. But we owe it to you as viewers to be real about it. Like, if Florida State were to run for, I'm just making stuff up now. If Florida State was to run for, I think, what, in 23, we ran for like 22 yards against Clemson or something like that. I'm not going to come in here and be like, well, we ran the ball great. Like, we have to call it like it is. You guys won't respect us if we don't. So just keep that in mind, that we are going to be, we're going to be real with you, but we're going to be positive. And so I want to get to Hyperbolic Noel here. Again, thank you so much for the super chat. Here comes in, contributing to the show. You guys are the best. Keep up the great work. Hawaii came back and took the lead, but choked in the end. Look, I'm just saying, like, Hawaii is 9 wins last year.
Yeah.
You're hanging with Stanford again this year on the road. Like, that's not bad, man. So, I mean, maybe they can look. I don't know that I would want to play Hawaii right now.
Nah.
Let's just say that. But again, Willie B says overall tonight they get a C+. Yeah. I see that. I think that's about fair. Like, you still won by three scores.
Three scores.
You know, you didn't cover by far, but you know what I mean? Winning and covering is overrated. You know what they say? Good teams win, great teams cover.
Right.
Well, we're not a great team right now. We know that. But you played bad and got the win. So, man, love you guys. Thanks for sticking with us. Look, whether it's going to be a long season or not, we're going to be here for it either way. But looking forward to SMU next week. I can't wait to be back in Tallahassee, man. I can't wait to be back in Doak Campbell Stadium. I can't wait to be tailgating with everybody down there. So if you're going to be at that SMU game, make sure you hit us up and find us there. And, Michael, we're 1-0, man. That's all.
1-0. That's all that matters.
We're 1-0. We're 1-0. So we will catch you guys next week with the preview show. Make sure you lock in with us for that. And we appreciate everybody for watching tonight. You guys have a good night and a safe weekend. And we'll see you next week. Thanks for watching. Go Noles.
Go Noles.